Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Hybrid Jazz from Trish Hennessy. Hybrid Jazz is a vision of all that is jazz, both traditional and contemporary, domestic and global. Here's your host, Trish Hennessy.
Well, thank you, Dave. Woohoo! Oh, my gosh. Oh, you know what? I have to apologize. I've been like this ever since I was a little girl. I get stupid excited about the weirdest things. And I'm a little excited today, not only for the obvious, which I'll get to in a second, but I'm excited because it's the first time we've done something. Now, the other day, I thought we were going to use Skype for the first time. And guess what? I talked to one of these wonderful professionals, technician at Blog Talk Radio last night, and she said, "Let me tell you something, Trish. Windows 8 and Skype do not mix. Don't do it. I want you to use the call-out feature that you have on your home studio screen instead." So that's what we're going to do. Now, in the process of doing that, we're going to have a couple of guinea pigs, as it were, to talk to before our guest arrives during the third hour of the show. And that is Jeff Golub. Yes, how long have I been waiting for Jeff Golub to be on the show? And that's so funny because "How Long" is the name of one of the songs on Train Keeps a Rollin'. So we're going to do this. We're going to do this right now while the music is rolling just a little bit. And Griselda, we're going to call you and hopefully let me see if I can do this. This is going to be weird. Bear with me, okay? It's dialing. All right? Oh, my gosh, it's showing up in everything. Oh, it's busy. Griselda, you're busy. That's okay. We'll try again. That was fun. All right, now we got to get rid of that. There we go. Thanks, Griselda. We'll try it again. See, this is the very thing that I wanted to do live. This is kind of fun because we've never done this before, and that is what is all about live radio. So we're going to do it again. We're going to dial. We have the number all set there. Call talked or was not answered. All right, Griselda, let's see if it works this time. Listen, this is the fun of it. And we're going to have some great music, too. So we'll see. Is it dialing? It's dialing. This is exciting.
Hello?
Hello? There she is. Griselda,
hey,
Medina.
Hey, Trish.
How are you?
I'm good, hon. How are you?
You know what? I'm doing better now because I really did think this was going to work. You know what? Just so folks know, and this is just something that's an aside, a behind-the-scenes kind of scenario, when I was talking to Cynthia last night at Blog Talk Radio, we really couldn't establish what the screen would look like until the show went live. And there's very clearly, next to the guest call-in telephone number, a little picture of a telephone. So you just have to press that, dial the number, and away we go. Are you there? Oh, my gosh. She's not there. That's okay. I can see the phone clearly in front of me, but we'll go back to that. Okay. We'll go back to that. I'll just X her out right now. Yeah. And we'll get to some music. How about if we do that? I'm going to get to another guest coming up before 20 minutes is up, since we just started the show. I wanted to play something by Cannonball Adderley. And the reason is because the beautiful tribute to George Duke happened last night. And one of the many big events in George Duke's life was working with Cannonball Adderley. Between Cannonball and Frank Zappa, George learned so much and came into his own because of the strength of that different kinds of one extreme to the other music. So I wanted to play something by Cannonball, not that it was about George at all. Actually, Nat Adderley wrote it about a disc jockey in Chicago, One for Daddy O. you know, George was known as Big Daddy, so I wanted to make sure this got played just because. Just a beautiful piece on Hybrid Jazz from Trish Hennessy.
Thank you. what you wanted, Alfred.
Well, here I am again, sitting in front of this computer screen at 3 in the morning, paying some bills. And you come across my mind real heavy. And I want to reach out to you, you know, say something funny. Just say hello. I'd really like to call you, but it's late, so I think I'll send you an email that you can pick up in the morning. And I know I haven't seen you in a long time, but that doesn't mean my feelings aren't strong. And sometimes it seems we just go along from day to day, not saying the things we should say. But right here, right now, for me today, I want you to know that, girl, I've been missing you.
Well, it's not that I needed anybody to say this, but there are some that are professional reviewers who have said that that is one of the finest vocals, if not the finest, George Duke ever did. His heart and soul was wrapped into that song, Missing You, from Dreamweaver, one of the most amazing compilations, if that's the right word, doesn't even matter, just a varying amount of music and style and soul and passion and feel and fun, and he must have known that it was his last, so he put everything he had into it. Bless his heart. Yeah, and we heard Cannonball Adderley, too, before we get to a call, and I hope that Robin is listening somewhere so she knows she's going to get called. We heard Cannonball Adderley and Company. What fine company it was. Hank Jones on piano, Sam Jones on bass, Art Blakey on drums, Miles Davis on trumpet from Something Else on Blue Note, 1959. One of the Penguin Guide to Jazz's core collection. That's how fine of an album it was. Had to play Cannonball because George spent some pivotal years with him and learned so much. And man, just so nice to be able to play Cannonball and George Duke back to back. We're going to make this call now. It just so happened that I put the word out on Facebook the other day about giving a call just so I could find out that this phone call-out feature on Blog Talk Radio works. So I told Robin Murphy, because she had just written to me to say, hey, Trish, I got something I think that you'll want to know about. And she has this beautiful organization with her husband. Hopefully she'll be able to tell you all about it. We're going to be talking to, momentarily, Robin Murphy, who has a particular foundation in Baltimore. And if she doesn't answer, we'll just move on along, but at least I know that the call-out feature works.
Hello.
Hello, Robin.
Hi.
Hi, this is Trish Hennessy. How are you?
I'm great. How are you?
I'm good. Is this good timing for you?
Yep. If you hold 1 second, I'm going to step out so that it's not a lot of background noise.
Okay, that's great. Yay, we got in touch with Robin. So it just so happened that Robin had no idea that I was asking people to call in or if I had permission to call them so that they could plug something that was close to their heart. And let me tell you how cool the timing was for this, because this is a community organization, an endeavor that strengthens Baltimore in a couple of different ways, and they're going to have a fundraiser coming up in September. I had no idea. So we'll talk to Robin and we'll find out what's going on. And
hey
there,
there
she is. Hey there, how are you?
I'm wonderful.
Yes, you are. You had no idea that I was going to do this, and the timing is crazy. That's just God, Robin. That's all that is.
I know. I know. And I have been saying to myself, you know, I've got to reach out to the people that really do a lot of good work in our area with promoting, you know, jazz music and promoting the genre. And it had taken me like 2 weeks to get it together to reach out to you. So that's crazy that I reached out yesterday.
That's so crazy, because I had just put the post on Facebook that I was looking for guinea pigs to use for this call-out feature.
Wow.
Yeah, so I'm so excited. I read the beautiful wording, so articulate, the poster in regard to this endeavor in September. But Robin, tell us what it is that you and your husband do. I love this.
Well, so I guess in about 2006, which was the year, you know, we're Baltimore natives, and we've both lived and worked in a lot of cities, but have always considered permanently residing nowhere but home in Maryland. And so in 2006, my husband first started playing in the NFL, and literally one of the first things he said he wanted to do was to start a foundation that would benefit Baltimore children. And so that's
wow.
Exactly what we did. And started small, He started with a grant with the NFL Youth Football Fund to focus on just giving children from underprivileged backgrounds the opportunity to participate in, like, sports camps, which are often not very expensive. And then we decided to expand it to things that would make it possible for children to even consider sports in college, which was to be literate. So we had added literacy components to it, and we partnered with the Pratt Library. And then over the years, every time someone comes to us with an organization or something that needs, you know, a focus in Baltimore, mentorship is huge to my husband. He started the mentorship program in one school, and it's now in four schools where they take at-risk boys, and it's after school 3 days a week. They have them on Saturdays and Sundays. They have them in the school, and it's also faith-based. They bring in a speaker from the community as well, who's made it out of the community. They buy them food. They keep them, because what we've learned is that violence that happens for kids that are still in that school age is usually from 3 to 8. So if the kids are unsupervised or don't have a home with food to go to, then they're very vulnerable to things that are happening in their communities. So the mentorship, the literacy, and all that, so it just kind of grew and grew, and then we, you know, we partner with University of Maryland Shock Trauma, which runs a fantastic violence intervention program. And we just kind of put all those things together, raise money, and then sit down with other organizations as well as ours. We run, so the mentorship is run solely by us. As we partner with people that are doing great work in the area. And so that's how it started.
Wow, that is so beautiful. Oh, my God. It's like everything fell into place one after the other. This is your ministry, for sure.
Sure, it is. And, you know, I think that for Jason, my husband, it was like his city and the children of this area mean so much to him that, you know, he just could not see being one of the ones who got away. And so one of the things that was significant to University of Maryland Shock Trauma is that my husband lost two brothers to gun violence in Baltimore.
My God.
Growing up, two brothers. And so to be a testament to actually overcoming odds and making it out, and, you know, he's got 2 degrees, he's just finished playing, luckily, like, he was signed by the Baltimore Ravens, he ended his career with his hometown team, and he's now assistant coach at Stevenson University. So to be one that can actually be a testimony to, I literally was where you are, it's like he needs people to hear that and see that and feel that, because it makes a difference to the kids that are in it. If you haven't been in it, sometimes I don't think they relate. But I think they relate to our message. And so we just try to pull more people in and say, hey, help us. Guess what we're doing back in Baltimore? And guess what we're doing? That's how the Jazz component came into it, because Centric TV, which is a part of BET Networks, which is a part of Viacom, our good friend runs it, and he just said, Jason, you're doing so much. Let me help. What can we do as a major media network to support you financially and support you with getting the word out about what you're doing?
Oh, my gosh. And your friend, by the way, did such a fine job. You know, there's so much that can happen in a live event, but Centric TV did such a great job with the George Duke tribute last night, Robin. So please tell him thank you for all of us.
I will, and hopefully you'll get to meet him, because he will be here at our event, which is coming up. He is ground. He's on the ground. What's up? What can I do? He and Jason are the best of friends. He's sort of a mentor to Jason as Jason transitioned from sports into the business world, and he mentors Jason, and very, very, very close with him and his family, and their Centric is still based in D.C., so when he gives to us, he shows up, so he'll be there, and his name is
so
Paxton
wonderful.
Baker. I don't know if I said his name, because I did hear a lot of the people at George Duke's Memorial. I watched it yesterday with tissues in my hands, and when I was watching it, I did hear a lot of people go to the microphone and thank Paxton Baker for, you know, even being, he actually literally put it together. He said that George's kids, and he considered George his mentor in what he does. And So he was very adamant in flying out to L.A. and putting the entire thing together, and also insisting that Centric be able to live stream it. And from what I understand, they're also going to edit it and run it on Centric and pretty soon.
Oh, that's
especially
that's
those
wonderful.
Fabulous performances. Those performances blew me away.
Yeah, and look, you know what? In different parts of the country, I'm not sure if this was a cohesive situation where everybody got, like, you know, the pops and the whistles and the sound was going up and down. But if that could happen, you know, especially with the performances that really stand out and, you know, what people said, like Stanley Clarke stands out and Kenny Lattimore singing Sweet Baby at the podium. Oh, for God's sake. Was that crazy?
And did you hear when, I think it was Malcolm Jamal Warner said, Kenny got his song switched and just learned that song in the back?
Yes. Yes, you could tell that he was reading the song, but, you know, he had such love in his heart, he didn't even blink. He's just such a pro like that. All the love that was on that stage, there was not a false note up there. It was beautiful.
It was absolutely incredible. I was actually texting Paxton's wife as we went, because I don't know if you noticed, but when I was watching, like, a lot of the times, if you missed a bit, they didn't have the chyrons up, so I didn't know who was talking. I'm texting her, and I'm like, who's that at the podium? She's beautiful. It was Sheila E., and, you know, I'm like,
right.
So
right.
I was thoroughly into it, and I think that I'm so excited that we get to do a jazz event in Baltimore, because I think that it's like, I just want to show that we like to give people a good time when they come to our charity event. And I was lucky that Mesa, she actually is doing this concert for free.
Oh, bless her heart. That really thrills me that she would do that. Oh, that's great.
She is doing it for free. She believes in, you know, the work that we're doing in the community. And you know, honestly, this is her $5,000 donation to it, because that's how much she could get for that evening performance.
Oh, my gosh.
And,
that's so beautiful.
She is performing for us for free. So it's Friday, September 27th at the Hyatt, and tickets are on sale now. And Mesa is performing, and I'm excited that we get to give the people of the area a jazz concert for an artist whose album is hot right now.
Very hot. Very hot.
On top of which, she's a Baltimore native, and on top of which, you know, if you come and you buy a ticket, your money is going right back into the community to help these programs.
That's great. And look, what can we do, Robin, in the meantime, just so you know, this is, of course, happening live. It will be archived on Blog Talk Radio, so anybody can have access to you and I talking about this. And then probably this particular show will run tomorrow on bluesjazzradio.com. So there's a couple ways that folks can hear about this endeavor. What's the website that we can go to and contribute?
Great. Tickets are on sale for this event now, and you can also just make a donation as well on the website in case you can't come. But I hope people come out, because, again, it's going to be fabulous fun. The website is holdingthelinefundraiser.eventbrite.com. And so the name of our foundation is Holding the Line Foundation. My husband was an offensive lineman, and that's where the name comes from.
That's great.
So it's holdingthelinefundraiser.eventbrite.com. Tickets are $55 for general admission, and that does include hors d'oeuvres and some cocktail specials, and then there's also some reserved seating, which is $100 ticket, and then that includes lots of hors d'oeuvres and also complimentary cocktails from one of our sponsors.
That's unbelievable. And actually, to be really simple, we can just go to holdingtheline.com, because all the information will be there, right?
Absolutely, it is.
That's
yep,
great.
Everything's that's there.
Robin,
so anybody
what
that comes
a
out,
pleasure.
If you, I thank you. If you come out, tell me you heard it here. And I just love to meet people in the community that are interested in jazz and interested in the art form of that music, because we are actually working with Centric to bring a jazz festival to Baltimore in 2014 on Father's Day weekend. And it's going to be huge. It's going to be an economic boom for this city. That's something else, Trish, I need to talk to you about offline, because they are going really big to bring in some major, major jazz acts as well as some regional acts into Baltimore Father's Day weekend next year. And so it's very important to them as a network as to show their support for this little small thing that we're doing on the 27th so that they can let people know that what their intentions are for next year. So if anybody wants to come out just to show your support to what will grow to a bigger thing for the city next year, please join us as well.
Well, let me tell you something, and Paxton may be able to help in this regard too, but my birthday is in mid-October, and I'm looking forward to my birthday show. Stanley Clark is playing at Blues Alley, so let me talk to Stanley.
Oh, that's amazing. Yes. Wow.
Yeah.
I think we should make that happen.
I think so too. And look, you know, he's a Philly guy. I'm a Philly girl. So his heart has always been involved in the community. So, you know, we're putting them on blast now.
Right, absolutely. So I'm going to follow up with you on that because I think that's amazing. I wish I could go with you, but actually, believe it or not, Jason and I, Centric is sending us on the Soul Train cruise that week, the 5th through the 12th of October. I know.
Wow.
I know. So
wow.
We'll be away. But if we were not away, I would be with you.
Well, that's okay. We'll figure it out, and we'll talk offline about this. In the meantime, I'll make sure that the information's on Facebook, and I'll tweet it as well.
And I appreciate it. Thanks to you. Thank you to Mesa for helping get the word out and participating in this event.
Well, you know what? What we'll do is, as we get a little bit closer, we'll reach out to Mesa to bring her on Hybrid Jazz so she can talk about it and talk
about
whatever
she wants. She would love to. And
yeah,
talk about that
good.
Fantastic album of hers, which I believe should get a Grammy nomination.
Oh, yeah. She's due for something major. She sure is.
She is. She is. So I'll reach out because she would love to come on. And you and I, this was the first media I've done for the event because I haven't even done a press release yet. So I'll get that to you.
That's great. I absolutely love it. It was meant to be, and it's all going to work out beautifully. You'll see.
Thank you, Trish. Talk to you soon.
Thank you, Robin. We'll talk to you soon.
All right. All right.
Bye-bye. Robin Murphy. Woo! That is so awesome. We'll have all the information, as a matter of fact, on Facebook today, and I'll put it on Twitter as well. And we'll go back to music now that we know that the call-out feature works for Blog Talk Radio on my home studio screen. Yoo-hoo! So that way, when we call Jeff Golub at the top of the third hour of the show, things will be cool. Hey, look. Guess who got married on Sunday? Did you hear? Cindy Bradley and Dan Cipriano. It was such an awesome little display of pictures, and they were both playing at their wedding reception. What is up with that? This is Cindy from Unscripted and Massive Transit on Hybrid Jazz from Trish Hennessy. We'll be right back.
was a time I knew that no matter come what may, love would prevail. And then inside the dreams I knew came the question, love is fear, can true love fail? Then I would miss the childhood wish, and haven't I sung to you of the knight in armor bright, faithful and true to you, darling?
My God, if you saw Centric TV last night and saw how precious that man was in speaking of one of the best friends he ever had, George Duke, then you know how you feel today, right? I've never seen anybody that beautiful. And here's the thing. Al, it's no small secret that when Al does a show, many folks wonder what he has in his cup. The night that I saw George Duke with Al Jarreau at the Berks Jazz Festival a few years ago, it was absolutely hilarious because apparently Al had that cup on stage and then he brought that cup and what was in it to sign CDs and talk to people after the show. He was hilarious. Well, there was no cup last night. It was just Al talking from his heart about someone that he has known since the 60s, when Al was a social worker in San Francisco and George was just starting out. So, you know what has gone through people's minds since last night. Al has had a couple of scares and we thought we were going to lose him. And I know that Al Jarreau was thinking to himself, this is just not fair, because George is a few years younger, and we all thought that George was going to last forever. But in any case, it was beautiful last night. And here is this Grammy winner in three different categories who's up there being so vulnerable and singing I Love You to the crowd. Just beautiful. After all, from 1984, from High Crime. Just so beautiful. And to show you who was on the CD, Nathan East, Paul Jackson, David Foster, Bobby Lyle on there. Whew! Beautiful stuff. And Greg Fillinganes, who did a wonderful job being on the keyboard last night some of the time. And Centric TV, thank you so much. Paxton, you did such a great job. That was Robin Murphy's friend, who she just alluded to a little while ago. Thank you so much, everybody concerned. Charles Lloyd, Memphis Born, that was the second song in that set. An incredibly fascinating guy. The song was called Come Sunday, which we did for Cindy and Dan because they got married on Sunday. From Charles, his beautiful CD, Jumping the Creek, that is both emotional and serene at the same time, which is pretty tricky if you can do that. A Duke Ellington song, gorgeous. Jerry Allen on keyboard. Robert Hurst and Eric Harlan also on this album from 2005. And Eric Harlan is going to be with Charles when he makes the rounds of the Chicago Jazz Festival and also the Detroit Jazz Festival, along with Reuben Rogers and Bill Frisell. Woo! That'll be cooking with gas. Just an interesting aside about Charles Lloyd. When you hear his varying work, know this, and it might make sense to you because you're hearing different influences. Very big on the blues scene back in the day in Memphis. As a teenager, he was playing with some pretty intimidating bands, but he knew how to hold his own on tenor sax, etc. Well, he's also an etc. person. African, Cherokee, Mongolian, and Irish. He's just so beautiful. He's 75 now, and going to the website, seeing different pictures and works along the way, it's just an interesting journey if you want to go and see one of the masters, one of Kirk Whalum's favorites, by the way. Cindy Bradley from Unscripted, Massive Transit, and once again, best wishes to Cindy and to Dan Cipriano on their very recent wedding. If you go to Cindy Bradley's Facebook page, you'll see the bride and groom cake toppers, which are so funny because they kind of look like Cindy and Dan. Whoever did this did some exceptional work. Just really cool to pass along some happy news, isn't it? Phew! Jeff Golub coming up at the top of next hour. That is good news, don't you think? We have an hour's worth of music to go. So exciting. Jeff and Brian Auger starting their tour in a couple of days and then coming to the D.C. area to one of the hottest venues in the country so that they can just get into their Train Keeps a Rollin' CD. Man, it's good stuff. So is this, another good friend of George Duke's, Billy Cobham. Billy keeping private thoughts to himself these days on the passing of his good friend. This is from 2007 with a group called Eserde, and this is to celebrate the different cultures from Cuba, where the group is from, and Billy Cobham with his Panamanian roots. This is called Destinos on Hybrid Jazz from Trish Hennessy. and the birthday boy from yesterday, Luis Munoz, coming up after this. This is Hybrid Jazz from Trish Hennessy.
Looking back on all the things in my life, sometimes wondering what is really real, your life's changing. A gentle word or a simple thought from your heart has made me stronger, wiser, good enough for this. I thank you.
beauty of having your own show, because you don't have to answer to anybody. You can get to play your favorite songs, and that's one of my new favorite songs, Anthony Jefferson, who's becoming a real revelation, by the way. This is a character and a half. You heard it if you heard his interview a couple of months ago. Had no clue. All I knew about Anthony Jefferson was that he was a friend of Nat Landry, and Nat is married to Tracy Hamlin. So they all spent some time, especially Nat and Anthony, in New Orleans, because that's where they're from. Anthony, not content to live a life that sort of confines him, so he thinks, he starts to go traveling. And he made a couple of stops where there was water, and he landed in Sosua in the Dominican Republic, and that is his paradise. He is a big, fat fish in a little pond. He's the king of Sosua, no kidding. And this is how powerful he is. That song, Thank You, means a lot. Anthony wrote the words, and a tremendous talent, Mark Rapp, who you heard blowing that thing in the background. I imagine that most of the people on this CD, But Beautiful, brand new, are going to be there. Beware, Trish. There is a CD release party that Anthony has decided is going to be in Sosua in late October. He's already booked a hotel room for me. He is a mess, but the best kind of mess, because he really does feel, thank God, that you have to live while you're alive. There is no time to put off things. If you can possibly do them, do them. So this is going to be a black tie event in this beautiful little jewel somewhere in the Dominican Republic. And hopefully we can get it together to go. Just beautiful. Anthony Jefferson, thank you for that song called Thank You. Man, it's just so sweet. We heard, too, Luis Munoz, whose birthday was yesterday. The big birthday bash is going to be celebrated in his home, his adopted home of Santa Barbara, originally from Costa Rica. It's going to be at Soho in Santa Barbara this Saturday. The song that we heard was not from Luz, which is his most recent project, but from Invisible from a few years ago. It's called Sobrevivencia, which translates into survival in Portuguese. That's just beautiful. I love that song. Invisible was the work that made my hair stand on end in knowing the breadth of talent that Luis has. He is a renowned instrumentalist, but what he also does that's of intense value, he puts the people around him that absolutely sparkle, that get the intent of his music. So it's this conglomeration of what was immersed in his soul in Costa Rica and the absolute love he has for different other parts of the world, all of that global vision in this album, Invisible, and then in Luz, the follow-up. Just tremendous stuff. So happy birthday, Luis. Love you madly, and you know it. Billy Cobham, recorded at Peter Gabriel's studio in 2007. And I always like to refer to my little pronunciation guide so I can do it justice, because Billy is from Panama, and you don't necessarily think of that because he's so thoroughly Americanized, but he wanted to get back to his roots, and he met this wonderful seven-piece group that is called Acere, that's the correct pronunciation. And he wanted to combine their Cuban roots with his Panamanian roots, and they did this beautiful album that is called, essentially, what's it called? De Cuba y de Panama. And what you heard was Destinos from that. Billy he's going to speak eventually about how he feels now that his good friend George Duke has left us in body, and I'm sure we'll hear something about that. But Billy, just so you know, spent some time with Miles and Mahavishnu Orchestra and Herbie Hancock, Oscar Peterson, but one of the times of his life was when he was with George Duke. You can best believe that. They have spoken about that publicly, about each other. And as a matter of fact, when George was with us last year, he had made mention that he really wanted to get together with Billy again. So hopefully they will on the other side. Whew, let's go on. Jeff Golub is going to be with us at the top of next hour. Fingers crossed, because I know that the telephone call-out thing is working on Blog Talk Radio and the home studio screen. It's just, you know, someone in this position who is the host of a show always hopes that things go according to plan. But we know that sometimes that doesn't necessarily happen. So fingers crossed, everything will go well. This woman, pay attention, Matt Williams, Mr. Matte, this lady is on fire. She has been described as a Nordic goddess. She opens her mouth to sing and you're already enchanted. But ask John Pizzarelli what happened to him a few years ago when he was in British Columbia for a jazz festival, wandered into this hotel, there was a band on stage. He was asked to sit in. He went, sure. Saw the beautiful girl on stage, heard her sing, and went, oh, that's intriguing. And then she gets up and she blows into her trumpet, sounding like Louis Armstrong. He went, what? And he just sat there for the rest of the time on stage looking at her. This is Bria Skonberg, beloved of jazz journalists and Downbeat magazine. This is from So Is the Day from 2012, title track on Hybrid Jazz from Trish Hennessy.
Yeah. Thank you.
This is Hybrid Jazz.
La mer qu'on voit danser le long des golfes clairs a des reflets d'argent, la mer des reflets changeants sous la pluie. La mer au ciel d'été confond ses blancs moutons avec les anges si purs. La mer bergère d'azur infinie. Voyez, près des étangs, ces grands roseaux mouillés. Voyez, ces oiseaux blancs et ces maisons rouillées. La mer les a bercés le long des golfes clairs et d'une chanson d'amour. La mer a bercé mon cœur pour la vie.
Discoveries on one of those discs that featured a few artists. Matter of fact, this lady, her name is Chantal Chamberlain, is no stranger to these compilation discs that feature a plethora of different kinds of artists. I just found out that she's on the Starbucks Women of Jazz CD. I can't wait to get my mitts on that. This, La Mer, which is basically Beyond the Sea. For those of us who remember the Bobby Darin version of that, woo, that goes back a long time. This is from The Other Woman from Chantal's 2008 CD. She's got a new one that is out from last year, and she's working on yet another one that should be wrapped up by Christmas time. Her inspirations, Nina Simone, Peggy Lee, Shirley Horn, and maybe even Nancy Sinatra, which is kind of a cool mix. She's from Quebec, as is our wonderful Lynn Verano. So it makes one practice French while one is playing the music. Just love her voice. She's playing tomorrow night in her adopted city of Hamilton, Ontario. She's doing a Habitat for Humanity benefit event. And I just want to make mention of this because Robin Murphy was on with us during the first hour of the show. We were trying to establish whether our call-out feature worked on my home studio screen, first time we've used it. So it worked beautifully. Robin had made mention that this beautiful foundation that she and her husband Jason Murphy are running, which is called Holding the Line, because he used to be with the Baltimore Ravens, and that was his position. It's actually Holding the Line fundraiser-goersville.eventbrite.com. It's on my Facebook page right now. Robin had made mention of the fact that Mesa was going to be playing at their next fundraiser, which is going to be huge in September, and Mesa is playing for free. I cannot tell you how respectful I am of these artists who, in this day and age, and I know that Mesa has worldwide popularity, but it's not that she is independently wealthy by a long stretch. For her to do this means everything, so hats off to her. And we'll have more on this as the weeks progress. This is very exciting stuff, and what a way to find out if the call-out feature works, right? We heard from Art Farmer, that second song in the series, a trumpeter, flugelhornist, a flumpet player. God bless him. Born on the 21st of August, 1928, so it's a birthday we are thinking of. And he passed away in 1999. What you heard was from 1977's Crawl Space on CTI Records, a Dave Grusin song, and he is on keyboard there. Jeremy Steig on flute, started out very young. Jeremy's got a story all his own. Eric Gale on guitar. Steve Gadd, bless his heart, on drums. And Will Lee on electric bass. Just one of those wonderful, multifaceted individuals that we so enjoyed in the 60s and 70s. And I guess to me, and maybe I'm wrong about this, but I just feel he was not necessarily heralded as much as other jazz artists. But, you know, when you think about the body of work, and man, if you can get a hold of all of the sessions that he did and all of the solo work, you will be left breathless. Just amazing. And it's real nice to play something that leads up to saying to you that we're going to have a funky good time during the last hour of the show, because Jeff Golub is coming up. And let's just say that Jeff and Brian Auger got a little funky with Train Keeps a Rollin'. They toned it down some of the time, and they got a little surprise or two to deviate from the funk and the fun, but it is just smoking, so be ready for that. Bria Skonberg started the set, and she is a trumpet vixen. All right, I'm just going to say it. She's a singer, songwriter. She is a favorite of many a publication that has the chance to hear her or see her. Amazing. She is from Canada. She's from British Columbia. She's living in New York. She is going to be part of the first annual New York Hot Jazz Festival happening this coming Sunday. Whoa! I had no idea until I read about it today. But you might want to go to Bria, B-R-I-A, Skonberg's page, S-K-O-N-B-E-R-G. Learn about her and this festival. It's going to be absolutely incredible. I want to play a couple of more songs before our guest arrives, and I'll have to call him. I'm so excited. This gentleman is a Baltimore native, hometown hero, and young guy, 33. Quite a reputation. I've known him spent a little time with him. We often find ourselves in the same places. But when you consider that he's just not your average kind of Joe in Baltimore, this is a multi-instrumentalist, drums, piano, vibes. He's going to be on Cool Jazz Conversations tonight, special time, Blog Talk Radio, 7 o'clock Eastern. This is Warren Wolf. Wolfgang, the name of the CD, drops today. This is one of those songs. You better hold on to something you're sitting down on, because it's going to blow the roof off. This is called Grand Central on Hybrid Jazz from Trish Hennessy. Hybrid Jazz. Jeff Golub and Brian Auger and JNB from Train Keeps a Rollin'. And we're going to see if we can get Jeff Golub on the line right now. Hopefully, he'll have something to say about Train Keeps a Rollin'. I sure hope so. Oh, hello.
Hey, what's happening?
Hey, Jeff, it's you. You were right there, weren't you?
I was.
Bless your heart. Jeff, let me tell you something. This is the first time we've used the call-out feature, and it's so cool that you're there because folks in the chat room and I are just absolutely over the moon about Train Keeps a Rollin'. You must be over the moon too, aren't you?
Yes. And I'm glad that everybody else is. I'm glad that you and everybody in the chat room is.
Let me tell you, it feels like this is a whole new plateau. It feels as though you are running into the future. Now, this is one of the cleanest, the most passionate, the fun, the funkiest, whatever the chemistry is you had with Brian Alger, I bless God because it's just crazy.
Well, you're speaking to the converted already. Yeah,
I know.
Think you should tell anybody else and tell everybody over the air.
Absolutely. We had Brian here a couple of weeks ago, and he could not say enough about what a pleasure it was to work with you.
Mm.
And, you know this, Jeff. He doesn't have to do it because there's a whole
yes.
lot of different things he could do. But he is just loving life. And I'm about ready to tear my clothes off because of this tour, okay? I'm just going to say it like that.
Please do. Even though it's radio, please do.
Oh, my gosh. So walk me through this. I mean, here you have this absolutely amazing career and many solo albums. And if folks don't know, let me just say this about Jeff Golub. He has played with some major figures in the world, but they could have chosen anybody. But Jeff was so special to what they were doing, and I'm talking about Billy Squire. I'm talking about Rod Stewart. I'm talking about other folks who wanted Jeff by their side. And here's a guy that's born and raised right outside of Akron, Ohio, who got immersed in the blues early, immersed in rock, found your way to jazz, and now, like how many years later, because there's just a couple of years difference between you and I, Jeff, you are...
How many years?
I'm 60.
I'm 58. So
right.
We are in the same ballpark.
We are in the same ballpark. So that's a lot of living, and you and I had probably the same influences, although you turned to music, I turned to something else. But all of this beautiful little hybrid stew brewing over the years, and now this is the absolute top of your game. You feel it, don't you?
I think it's wonderful that you feel it, too, and anybody
yeah.
who listens feels it.
Oh, look, you can't help it. It was really a pain in the arse to figure out what we were going to play today. Because there's just so much time that we have. We just played J and D. Tell us about that little that track and the history of that track.
Well, I co-wrote that track with Chris Palmero. He comes from New Jersey, and the song comes from New Jersey, which would be... A great, I mean, it's just, it is a blues, but it's kind of a swing blues.
Oh, yeah.
It's kind of swing music.
Yeah. Oh, boy, it sure was swinging. it's the kind of project, honestly, it harkens back to what was great about the music that you and I heard, Jeff, in the late 60s, early 70s. And, you know, here's Brian Alger, he's 74, sounding as if he's 20 years old all over again. So you brought out something in him, and he brought out something in you, and these players all together, it was like this weird chemical reaction that almost couldn't contain itself, so it spilled over.
I think you're correct. I think it was a weird chemical reaction that happened out of everybody being in the same room.
Yes.
I know that Steve Ferroni played drums, who's a great. He doesn't make any mistakes.
Yep.
He used to play in Brian Alger's Oblivion Express. He's on the live record with them, and
yes.
he and also Derek Frank played bass, who played with me with Mindy Abair, who is also on the record. And,
yes.
And he also played with Brian Alger.
Amazing. And I'm looking at the beautiful pictures the sleeve inside the CD, and you can just tell by the faces that people are having such a blast. By the way, before I forget, I wanted to make mention to you that Rob Parisi wanted to say hello to you.
Cool.
Yeah, he and you used to work with Billy Squire together, correct?
I mean, I know Rob Parisi, yes.
Rob Parisi, that's the correct pronunciation of his name. I should know better because that's an Italian last name and I'm from Philadelphia. I should know that better. Rob Parisi, he thinks the world of you
as well.
Now,
where are you from in Philadelphia?
Actually, right up Broad Street, Jenkintown, PA, suburbs.
I mean, I'm from Akron, Ohio, so I'm not, I mean, I just love Philadelphia.
I do too, yeah. Philadelphia is a wonderful music town, and as is Baltimore, where we're broadcasting from now. Together, those kind of vibes, whether it was rock or beautiful jazz, man, it set the standard for a lot of music, didn't it?
Yes, and so you are in this time zone. I am in New York.
Ah, okay, cool. Yeah, I wasn't sure about the area code. I should have known better, but, you know, when this was set up, and I thank Rick Scott so much. He's wonderful. Isn't he, Jeff?
Yes, I agree. He's been great.
Yeah, he really is very thorough and kind of one of those guys, and I wish we had more of them, that make sure everything gets done.
Yes.
So how did it come to be? You were taking some time, and you got a hold. I guess it was Bud Harner who had the idea, or did you have the idea? Brian was called in. How did the whole project come to be, Jeff?
Well, Bud Harner suggested that I do a record with a Hammond B3, and he suggested, Brian Auger, he said, I know a great Hammond B3 player, and come on, it doesn't feel like you had a better than Brian Auger.
That's for sure. Oh, my God. Listen, I've got vinyl here that should be scratched, and it is, but my son cleaned it up. He's 21. He's a real music aficionado. He cleaned it up. One of my favorite albums was Before with Brian Auger and the Trinity in 1970. So you probably amassed your own LPs during your course of growing up. What was it that first turned you on to hungering to play the guitar? Who was it? What were those circumstances?
Eric Clapton. My neighbor played the John Mayall record with Eric Clapton.
Oh,
known
man.
As the Beano record, which really it blew my mind that anybody could play the guitar that well. I mean, I heard Jimi Hendrix about the same time, and Jimi Hendrix was a little too adult for me, but Eric was perfect.
Yeah, yeah, man. Woo, that puts me back there. You also were really digging rock, and then you found yourself being drawn closer and closer to the blues. What was it about Muddy Waters and Buddy Guy and the Kings, all of them, that made you, I guess your hair stood up on your head, because it was just so cool to hear that so young, wasn't it?
Yes, without a doubt. I mean, I love music in general. I don't really differentiate the difference of music. It is either from the heart or it is not. And
oh, that's the truth.
The blues
yeah.
is definitely from the heart. Good
oh,
blues,
yeah.
I should say.
Oh, yeah. I mean, it's the basis for what jazz is. I mean, a lot of folks don't necessarily like to talk about that, but, you know, there would be no jazz unless there was the blues. You know, people
I agree.
Can get to, yeah. I mean, because look, the fact of the matter is that jazz came to be from the brothels, and a lot of blues was being played there. So, just goes to show you what we can do if we allow ourselves to evolve. And how do you think that your evolution through the years has been? Do you look back at some times in your career and think, oh, my God, I really did well in that particular period of my life? Or do you ever think that if you could go back in time and redo music, would you do it? Or has everything been absolutely cool?
And, you know, it can't be. You can't go back in time. It's good and bad that you can't go back in time. I mean, it's wonderful where I am today, and
oh,
I would
yeah.
not be here if it wasn't for going through the periods where when I moved to New York, I wanted to play jazz, and I got a job with Billy Squire, which was farthest from jazz that I could possibly get. I might just be another George Benson clone, which is great, but I mean, I might be that. I just realized from playing with Billy Squire that I like rock guitar, I like blues guitar,
yeah.
and I should embrace that rather than fight it.
Oh yeah, the fact of the matter is, Jeff, that through the years, your many fans have gravitated to you because there's an authenticity about you. I can't even imagine, because I'm one of those folks who wore out blues for you from 2009, and I love the Three Kings, and dipping back even further than that. It's funny because I just played something from Warren Wolf's new CD that drops today. And one of the songs that's on the CD that I played is called Grand Central. And that was the name of your project back in 2007. Folks like me who have been following you for years, hearken to that particular sound that you have. It's been so gratifying to know that with every turn, you've wanted to be true to you. That's a
yes.
Blessing.
You know, it is a blessing, and it's, I mean, people should just be true to themselves.
Oh, my God, yeah. Yeah, well, that's why Brian absolutely loves you. I mean, he just doesn't merely like you. He loved having time with you, and now you're going to have more time. This tour kicks off in, what, 2 days, right?
Yes. He comes in tonight. He comes into New York, and we rehearse tomorrow, and then we leave on Thursday.
Wow. Wow. That's just so
Philadelphia
crazy.
Is one of the stops on the tour. We're doing that in the afternoon on Friday.
And you're coming to one of the coolest venues ever, the Hamilton in D.C. on Sunday, and my son and I will be there. Whoa. To hear this particular band and tell us, please, because my son was asking me earlier, who's going to be in the band with you when you're making this tour? Is it different people, different stops, or what?
No, it's Steve Williams playing drums and Conrad Korsch playing bass. Conrad plays with Rod Stewart now. He's a great bass player, and Steve Williams is just, he played with Diggable Planets. He's a great drummer.
Wow, that's great. Brian's coming in tonight. Oh, my gosh. There's a few tracks here that it would be good to sink our teeth into, and I don't know how much time that you want to give me. Is 30 minutes okay?
Yes.
Okay, awesome. I've got in front of me, I just played J&B, and there's a couple of songs here that I thought would merit attention. You had a couple of vocalists on the project, and one of them is Christopher Cross. So I'm intrigued. How did that get to be?
He's just a great guy. He just happened to be at... when a benefit was done for me in Newport Beach, California, he was playing the following night, and he he was so nice that he came out and sang Sailing, and he wrote my wife a really nice email after that. And we've become good friends after that night. And he said he would sing a song on this new record, which we, Bud Harner picked, How Long. I think it's a great song.
Oh, definitely. For those of us who remember Ace from the early 70s doing this, it was really a kick to see that Christopher Cross tackled it. Can we play that while you're with us?
Yes, please.
Okay. My guest, and trust me, Jeff, I have waited a long time, and I'm so glad that you're here. Jeff Golub, with Brian Auger on this really compelling project, Train Keeps a Rolling. This is Christopher Cross and How Long on Hybrid Jazz. Nice. Christopher Cross vocals there. Oh, man, when I first heard that, I went, really? Yeah, really, from Train Keeps A-Rolling. And, of course, that's Jeff Golub with Brian Auger, and we just lost contact. Let's see if we can get Jeff back. Actually, this is kind of fun. The call-out feature. Let me see if he meant to hang up. We'll see. Oh. Hi, Jeff.
Hello. Sorry about that.
That's okay. I just thought, okay, he probably didn't mean to hang up on me. It's okay.
I was just looking for a way to call you back. But I couldn't quite find it. I mean, I would have had to look at what Scott sent, and it would not have been pretty.
That's okay. It's too complicated, and I figured, okay, during the course of the song, I'll just take my chances, and if you didn't want to talk to me, you'd say so.
Yes.
That's so good. Oh, my gosh. What a rush. Tell me about this, and you can say anything that you want to. How do you feel about going out on tour? What's exciting to you the most about going out on tour?
Well, it's exciting to be involved with Brian Auger in any way, shape, or form.
True.
I mean, I'm such a fan. It's great.
And how do you think, because it's always a little different when you're in a recording scenario and then you're in different cities and you're on stage. Wow, that kind of juice, it's got to translate, doesn't it? That kind of vibe that you had.
I would think so, but we'll find out for sure.
Yeah, that's what you will. So... How, and there's like a gazillion questions that I have just about this particular project in comparison to any other. And really, Jeff, there is no comparison because it seemed as though when you came into the studio this time, it was as though you had all of that seasoning from the years you've spent on the road and with other master players. It's as if you opened a new door and just let it all out. Is that what it felt like?
Yes, and I think somebody should come to the shows, because what I've really taken away from Rod Stewart was how he managed to make a gigantic auditorium feel like somebody's living room.
Wow. Yeah, and he can still do that, can he?
Yes. I mean, he just has a knack for that, for not playing down to his audience, for playing to his audience, which I try to do also.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. You've always struck me as the kind of person who really did enjoy people to a large degree. And you seem like a great respecter of people. And here you are in a situation with Brian Auger, and you have Rod Stewart in common. Back in the 60s, Brian was working with him. You work with him.
Yes, Brian gave Rod his start.
Yes.
As a background singer.
Isn't that wild? Wow.
Yes. It is wild. He was a background. Rod was a background singer in Trinity.
So it's not too far removed from thinking along these lines. But should there ever come a time when you could be on the road with Brian and Rod and you, wouldn't that be a threesome, huh?
It could happen. It's not that, as you say, it's not that far-fetched.
Nope. I know that Rod... I don't know him personally, but it seems like he goes through these different chapters in his life, and I think that he might like to do a tour, and especially with two people.
You never know.
Yeah. So where are you going to go? Do you have a roster in your head about where you're going to be? You're going to be in Philly. I didn't know about that. But you're also going to play at Scholar's, aren't you, in Boston?
Yes, we're kicking off the tour in Scholar's in Boston. Then we go back to Philly and to New York and to D.C., the Hamilton.
Yeah. Yes.
Then we go to California and we play in Spaghettini's, which is in Seal Beach, just south of L.A. And then we play San Francisco, which my family's coming out of San Francisco.
Oh, that's awesome. Oh, my gosh. And are you going to do what Jeff Lorber and Everett Harp and Chuck Loeb are doing, which is, I guess you just have these specific dates, but they were doing a different city like 6, 7, 8 days in a row. Are you going to have a day apart, Jeff, or no?
I mean, we do have a day between between Seal Beach and San Francisco.
Well, that's
but
good.
I just come in the day of the show.
Well, you know what? That's a good way to get your energy cooking. And you've been laying low for a while, and this project is monumental, not only because of the beautiful work involved, but because of the buzz. Are you aware of the buzz that you're getting for this, by the way?
I'm aware of it, but I'm not really talking much about it.
Oh my God. Well, let me just tell you this. If it was translated into love, you'd be overwhelmed right now.
You can translate it into love. Anyway, Train Keeps Rolling was titled after the fact that I was hit by a train. Does anybody know that I've lost my sight?
Absolutely. Everybody in the chat room, that's for sure.
Well, anyway, I pulled a dumb blind guy thing and I walked in front of a train instead of onto a train.
Yep.
And the train keeps rolling whether you like it or not. It keeps going.
Yep. And not only does it keep rolling, but the crucial part of that story was that that was a freaking miracle, Jeff.
Yes, that I came out of it with only scratches. The the emergency medical technician who gave me a ride to the hospital, he said, "We don't usually pull somebody off subway tracks, especially in your condition. You've obviously got some unfinished business down here."
No.
Which I tend
question.
To think that it's music.
Oh, for sure. You're going to be doing quite a bit of your own kind of musical medicine with this particular project. The people that I know that have heard this have already felt their own kind of restoration. To know that you are going to be on tour and you did this, I could almost cry thinking about it.
Well, don't start crying, but I am hip to the fact that somebody can almost cry thinking about it. I mean, my nephew was in a motorcycle accident the other day. And,
oh, God.
And it was... I mean, I'm better off than anybody. I mean, there's nothing life-threatening in my life.
You are, you know what, Jeff? You could have decided not to pursue music anymore. I don't know you very well, but you to me and to a whole lot of people, and you might balk at this. It doesn't matter if you do. We're always going to think this. You're a hero to many of us. You understand that, right?
No, you can go ahead and think that, but it's not true.
Okay, if you say so. But
yes, please go ahead and think that.
Okay. Many a person has been living their lives in low these many years. You and I have lived a little bit. For you to have the absolute conviction and the forward thinking to put out something like this that was full of energy and passion, whoa, that's a big deal. So believe me, you're going to have a packed house no matter where you go on this tour.
Cool. And yeah. Anybody who's listening, please pick up the record and come see us play.
Absolutely. And I got mine. I got a couple of copies. I got mine through Amazon.com. But it would be really wonderful if you could go to JeffGolub.com and make sure you learn everything you can about Jeff's background so your mouth can be open for the next half hour or whatever, or whenever you hear this, because the background is staggering, and all of that background is in Train Keeps a Rollin'. You should be proud.
Thank you very much.
You are so welcome. And, sir, we will see you on Sunday. Woohoo!
Excellent.
Excellent.
I'll see you
Thank
on
you,
Sunday.
Jeff. Yes.
And I'll see anybody who's listening wherever you are.
Yep. We can't wait, honestly. Thank you.
Cool. Okay. Bye-bye,
all right,
everybody.
Jeff. Bye-bye. Jeff Golub, everybody. I don't want to take up too much of his time because I know that time for Jeff is pretty measured. He's got things that he has to do. And if Brian Auger is coming into town tonight, getting a rehearsal together, this is going to be something else. Can we please dip into a few tracks that we have? Because I pulled six from the CD. I want you to hear something else. And if you need to have it explained to you, I will after the song. This is from Train Keeps a Rollin', Jeff Golub and Brian Auger, Walking on the Moon. God, let me tell you, when you've got one of the greatest guitarists in the world who has worked with such creativity and passion and, I'm just going to say it, balls of steel through the years, that kind of expertise and that kind of feel coming through, and then you're working with Brian Auger, who is considered to be one of the greatest in the world on Hammond B3. You know that you've got something that's going to stand the test of time. This is going to be one of those CDs, Train Keeps a Rollin', that will make people feel good for years. And not just because of the music, but because it was Jeff Golub coming back to us. Man. Unbelievable. I thank Jeff so much for his time, and you need to know, because there's a lot of history in that song that you just heard, Happiness is Just Around the Bend. That song was written by Brian Auger. I know it's associated with the main ingredient, Cuba Gooding Sr., so much, but from Euphrates River, woo, in the 70s, but Brian wrote that song. So when he says that he really doesn't have to work if he doesn't choose to, he could just be enjoying the royalties from that, seriously. But he loved working with Jeff Golub so much that they're both feeling a new lease on life now. It's just criminal that somebody's having this much fun. And we also heard a song that was kind of a surprise to hear on the CD. And if it sounded familiar to you, yes, Walking on the Moon. That's a Sting song. Whew. Just a real nice mix of different kinds of feels with some vocals, and David Pack is on the CD as well as Christopher Cross. So it was like a family kind of vibe. Just love it. You know what? I thought it might be a good idea to wrap up the show with a song that Everett Harp chose to do at the Bethesda Blues and Jazz Supper Club over the weekend. It was an absolutely beautiful room. So many people came out to make sure that Jeff Lorber felt supported, and Chuck Loeb, and both Jeff and Chuck both have new projects. Everett chose to do something that catapulted him back in time for more than one reason. He went back to 2009, and First Love, that was produced by George Duke. And of course, he spoke about George with absolute love. And one of the tracks that has new meaning for him now is something that we're going to play for you. It was Everett's birthday on Saturday. He played as though it was his last birthday he was ever going to have. People after that show said they have never heard a sax man put such conviction and soul into a performance. This is Going Through Changes on Hybrid Jazz. So you can imagine what that was like live, right? Here's the thing. Everett Hart at Bethesda Blues and Jazz, and it was wonderful because Annie and Joy from Cool Jazz Conversations and I were in the very front. So we could see the sweat dripping off this beautiful man's forehead. He couldn't cry in front of us, so he channeled all of that feeling for George for so many years into that saxophone. People were blown out. They had not seen anyone capable of doing what he did before that night. It was just a beautiful thing. And even Chuck Loeb, you could see that Chuck was really moved, and he actually took a step back. And I caught Chuck's eye because he was closer to me than Everett was, and Chuck looked at me and had to look away. We both knew it was just one of those moments that's never going to come again. Woo! Amazing. Hey, look, the show has been amazing. Jeff Golub is amazing. And I don't care what you say, Jeff. You're a hero. Let me just say this to you. Do you know some folks that have endured what he has endured who would have chosen to stay private and reclusive and not to have pursued what they were supposed to do? He chose to do just the opposite. He had a project in front of him. Things were challenging. He proceeded forward, and he is flying like the beautiful bird that he was always supposed to be. I love him. Love him. Can't wait to see he and Brian Auger at the Hamilton in D.C. on Sunday. Whew! And at Scholars in Philadelphia, jeffgolub.com has more information. You know how to spell his name. Brian Auger might have it together to have stuff on his website, too. I'm not sure. I think it's Oblivion Express. You just have to find out what Brian's doing by going to Jeff's website, okay? Coming up for you, we've got some fabulous people in the mix. Jared, yes! Veronica Nunn, UNAM, and Sharon Kennedy, collectively calling themselves Nevo Dew. Gary Granger coming up in the next couple of months or so. You can hear repeats of Hybrid Jazz on bluesjazzradio.com. They're doing this between 9 and noon every weekday. Isn't that something? Thank you to everybody who was hanging out in the chat room today. Griselda, who had to bail. Also Matt and Beach DeBride. And Yolanda Bell and our guests who've been back and forth. We will see you next time on Hybrid Jazz from Trish Hennessy. God bless. And thank you again to Jeff Golub. He's something else. See you soon.